Mojong Fast, welcome back to American Friction.
Oh, the best. Always a delight to be on with you two. Mm.
It's always a pleasure to have you. First question, I ask you this and you always make fun of me for asking you this.
Please.
How are you?
I'm great. I just am so good. Those 5 hours of sleep I got last night, just like recharged and refreshed, ready to face the day.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a quiet time at the moment. Let's get to what seems to be the big news at the moment, over here at least, that we're spotting. One Elon Musk. He's gone. But is he properly gone? Because he still seems to have some sort of influence and ear of Donald Trump, even if he's not officially doing so.
So this is the $10 million. Oh, no, let me rephrase that. $10 trillion, because that's the savings that Doge found by firing everyone. Yeah. The best part was when they fired the air flight people, the air traffic controllers. Yeah, we don't need them. They are woke. Look, man, Elon Musk. Okay. Is he gone? So here's the question. Is he gone? Are Trump and he really on the outs? You can't believe anything you hear these people say, which is why we're in this position, right? Do I think Elon Musk is gone? Maybe. I do think that, Elon Musk people, you'll remember there are all of these very young, quite politically right-leaning, I think is an understatement of the year, programmers who are in different branches of government. People like, you'll remember Big Balls, who has the cauliflower haircut and likes to frequent far-right internet sites. That guy, I think he's in the Department of the Interior, maybe. I mean, you have guys like this, ideological zealots who are computer programmers in many different branches of the federal government. So while Elon, again, we don't know because nobody tells the truth in this administration, right? I think that's a very generous assumption. But maybe while Elon is making movements to leave, there are certainly his legion.
Yeah.
Is everywhere.
Well, with Elon going, sort of, this is a bit of a better the devil you know question, I suppose. In terms of what's going to happen with Doge now, and are the new people who are going to be in charge potentially worse, like characters such as Russell Vaught and people like that? And if not worse, as in more horrible, perhaps actually just more shit at doing the job they're trying to do.
So here's what I would say. Two things. One, Doge was never anything. This is my guess. We don't really know what Doge was because we don't have the reporting to know, right? We just know what they tell us, which is that they got billions and trillions of dollars. No, now they have billions of dollars. No, now they have millions of dollars. So we know that they had to reinstate a lot of the programs they cut. We know ideologically there was waste, fraud, and abuse, but most of the waste, fraud, and abuse was like, USAID, money for poor kids, right, in Africa. Bill Gates, I think, said it best, the richest man in the world punishing the poorest children. So that's really what Doge is. Russ Vaught is the head of the OMB. He was in Trump's first term. This guy is really smart. I mean, he is one of the architects of Project 2025. He was one of the writers of it. There are people in Trump world who are really smart. And Steve Bannon is another one. Like Steve Bannon, you gave this whole thing to Steve Bannon, Stephen Miller, and Russ Vaught. I mean, they kill each other because they're also ideological. But those guys are smart. So like Russ Vaught has been messing around with this congressional impoundment of funds where Congress says you have to give money to this. And Russ Vaught says, I think we're going to hold off on that. And since Congress is filled with cowards, I would say that's the most generous assessment. That crew, they'll do whatever Russ Vaught says. So I think Russ Vaught is really smart. I think, again, I don't I don't think Doge ultimately, we don't really still know what Doge was doing. Were they there to get the data? Were they there to, like, why did they need to be in every system? Why did they, I mean, what are they doing? Are they getting this data for AI? We just don't know.
Could it potentially operate more smoothly without Elon Musk? Because even though I don't actually know how smart Elon Musk is, we're led to believe incredibly smart. Sometimes I think not so much. But what we know he isn't good at is necessarily political maneuvering. Could it be more concerning now? Because the people who are going to be in charge are the people that get that. They get how to buy themselves political cover. They get how to operate. They get how to make things actually happen in a clandestine way, because Elon Musk should have just acted like an old school billionaire and just done all of this in secret instead of throwing around a fucking chainsaw for whatever reason he did.
Okay, here's what I would say. Yes, but Elon Musk's whole thing is that he wanted, I mean, Elon Musk thought, I think this is a function of having no one who ever tells you the truth around you. Mm. So when you have no one around you who ever tells you the truth, you just assume, like, I am the smartest, greatest person ever and everything I do is brilliant. And so he thought that he would get in there and people would be delighted to watch him slash, you know, funding for poor kids in Africa and malaria treatments. I think he really misread the situation. But look, Doge isn't, and I think this is really important to remember, Doge was just a vehicle for Elon to seize power, right? Yeah. This was never about spending. The big, beautiful bill, this legislation that the Congress passed that is now about to go to the Senate, that thing grows the deficit by $3.3 trillion. Mm. It cuts services, but it also grows the deficit. So, like, the greatest Republican lie is that they care at all about the deficit. They do not care about the deficit. This was about getting in there. I mean, look, Elon said a lot of stuff. Maybe you want to modernize the technology systems. Sure, nobody's arguing with that, but you're not going to do it by sending an email to every federal employee asking them to say five things that they did this week. The other thing I would add is this entire time Elon was like, he's done such a good job with Twitter. He can do anything. Do you go to Twitter? I mean, I used to be addicted to Twitter. And now if I do, you know, 10 minutes a day, it's completely, totally not. It's more than I would, you know, I don't go to Twitter.
Well, my realization with Twitter was that you can't open it in public places anymore.
I looked porn? On,
yeah, exactly. I opened up Twitter in the office the other day and was like, fuck, I can't do that. Also, something you'll like here, Chris, Elon Musk is a little bit like George Lucas with the prequel trilogy, wasn't he? Basically, that's what he's done in government. No one told George Lucas that he was fucking it up. And that's why we got Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, but Jar Jar Binks is still pretty sick.
Okay, if you say so. Anyway,
you're defending Jar Jar Binks?
It depends how much you like potential Sith Lords, I guess. There's a whole conspiracy theory around Jar Jar Binks actually being...
I'm sorry about him, Molly. He's young.
You're
young.
Compared to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway.
Is Jar Jar Binks now back? Do people like him?
He never went.
Never went away for Chris.
Not in my life. He's always been there.
Jesus Christ.
This is a very simple question, Molly. I don't think anyone is surprised that there's been this big old breakup between Trump and Musk. But how surprised are you that it's lasted this long?
Yeah, that's a real question. And that was, I'm not that surprised. Because here's the thing. Trump loves money. Elon has a lot of money. He's the richest man in the world. And, it worked until it didn't. Now, again, we don't really know. I think what we have to remember about this administration is in 2016, we had a really big mainstream media that had a lot of reporters. Trump would fire people. The fired people would go on to talk to everyone in the world. In this second Trump administration, we have a much smaller media, many fewer reporters. And then we really do have a situation where Trump is really working hard not to fire people because he feels like firing people I don't know if this is what he feels, but this is certainly what it looks like, that firing people gives the mainstream media or whoever a scalp. Yeah. And so he's trying to keep them. And that means that people like Pete Hegseth, who clearly, I mean, God knows what even is going on in there, right? I mean, it's gotta be just an epic disaster. But that guy, you know, there's less leaking because he's not fired. He's just trying to keep his job.
When it comes to the big beautiful bill, and there are some changes to it, the tweaks that are being rumored and been talked about, is the main thing really basically more tax breaks for rich Americans? What are the main shifts that are going to happen?
So, well, one of the things is that they're going to, so much crazy stuff in here. One of the things is part of this whole Trump presidency was to keep the 2017 tax bills, tax cuts from expiring. So that is a big part of this. And that's why it's so expensive. And that's why it grows the deficit. So corporate tax stays at a certain rate. Taxes for the very high earners stay at a certain rate. One of my favorite moments during this negotiation was he said, you know, maybe we should have a tax for people who make over $2.5 million a year. Okay. Maybe we should have them taxed at a higher rate. $2.5 million a year. Okay. You make $2.5 million a year. That's a lot of fucking money. Maybe we should tax them at 57%. Supposedly, and again, this is reporting, so who knows? He got a call from, a tax guy who said, no, you can't do that. Now look. The whole idea that Trump is a populist is complete fiction. So this may not even be true. He may not have even gotten that, but it certainly seems like he sort of put it out there because he wanted people to think he might do it. And we should not be surprised that he didn't. But so there's tax cuts for very rich people. There's a tax increase for academic endowments, right? Because that is because Trump is taking this page from Viktor Orban. Viktor Orban, who spoke at CPAC, who is sort of a thought leader for the right now. He wants to crush dissent and he's going after academic institutions. So that is going on. And then there's all sorts of other weird porky stuff in there. Look, there is something in there that keeps judges from being able to hold the administration in contempt. There's a whole judicial weirdness in there. By the way, all of this has to get by the Senate parliamentarian. The parliamentarian said, because this is going through in reconciliation, and reconciliation is, I'm sorry, I'm getting too nerdy here, but reconciliation means that it has to only deal with money. So the idea that they are going to limit the judiciary in a bill that goes under reconciliation is gaga, as we said.
Just for as Brits, you know, this bill doesn't this bill doesn't necessarily impact us really at all. Apart from, you know, looking over at the US and seeing what's happening and the impact that will have on the rest of the world. But, you've outlined a lot of stuff there, but in simple terms, what's the weirdest bit for you? What's the weirdest bit in this bill that we should know about?
I mean, the judicial stuff, so there's a couple of things in there to limit. One of the things that Congress has really been incredibly cowardly about, and look, to point it out, it's got to be bad because this crew is pretty cowardly, is they are limiting their own power. So, you know, this is like probably the only piece of legislation they're going to pass. There was a piece of legislation in March called the Continuing Resolution, which kept the government from shutting down. And in that, they gave away some of their own power on tariffs while Trump was in the middle of an insane trade war. So I would say the top lines of this are trying to limit the judiciary from being able to control Trump, which won't work, but is also just completely crazy. And then also these sort of, you know, I mean, if this goes through, how it would affect you is there's a world where they grow the deficit. The bond market is like, these people are out of control. We are fucked. And they start, and we see a scenario of dollar flight, which is what everyone is really anxious about, where people say, you know, Trump is crazy. Congress refuses to do its job. This is not where we want to keep our money anymore. Maybe we're going to all start going to Euro bonds. Maybe we're going to all start going to South Korea. Maybe we're going to, and the dollar ends up like not being the de facto currency. And we see, American debt. So what happens is America has a huge amount of debt and we have to service the debt. And, you know, if we have dollar flight, it becomes more and more expensive to service our debt and the dollar becomes less and less valuable. And that kicks up Europe to be sort of the leader of the free world, the EU. So that could be good for you guys.
Yeah, potentially. I've got to go on to some more horrible stuff now, Molly. I'm sorry. God. I wish that there's a lot. On Trump's kind of dictatorial tendencies, we always knew that one of his big things was revenge, but it does seem like he's cranked this up a little bit more recently. So I kind of hate to ask anyone to be nice about Harvard, but what is going on there? Give me a short summary of the revenge that he's enacting upon Harvard at the moment.
I am Harvard defender. You know where to college? Nowhere. I went to no college. This is the Harvard thing is really important because it's not about Harvard, right? I was on television last night with a very adorable congressman who was saying, you know, Harvard has a ton of money. Fuck Harvard. Democrats shouldn't. It's not about Harvard. It's an attack on institutions. It's attack on academia. Harvard, and by the way, the parts of Harvard that they're punishing are not, right? This administration saying, well, we need to give money to trade schools and not to, you know, people studying LGBTQ rights. Okay. What they're doing here is they're cutting research grants. Harvard has a medical school. It has a ton of scientific research. It's got Dana-Farber World-Class Cancer Center. What Elon Musk did was he cut the indirect funding to grants. He capped it at 15% because he was like, doesn't understand scientific grants, which is amazing because he should. And so he said, you know, we're just going to cut indirect funding to 27% if you can't, or 17% if you can't get it under that, you know. So what it did, and then they canceled tons of NIH grants. And you'll remember, we have RFK Jr., leading health for this country. My man, this guy, okay, he's not a doctor. What's the opposite of a doctor? He is whatever the opposite of a doctor is. What is that?
Death.
Well, it could be death. I mean,
the Grim Reaper.
Same thing.
When not going into an airplane bathroom without shoes on, he is cutting research grants to hospitals so this is a war on expertise, on academic institutions, on science. This is, I think you can trace the pandemic to MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, the most ironic, to, a war on doctors, vaccination, science, Harvard, academia writ large. And I think that's how we got here. The people being punished are people in cancer trials. They are not rich kids who want to row crew.